Roth, and you're listening to It's All About Food, and the party today continues. We are going to talk next about pie. Why not? I'm feeling a little lightheaded after talking to the Tipsy Vegan, but I think I can manage. We're going to be talking to Issa Moskowitz and Terry Romero on Vegan Pie in the Sky. Holidays, check. Birthdays, check. Tuesdays, check. Our research says life is 100% better any day pie is involved. There's nothing like a rich, gooey slice of apple pie straight from the oven, baked in a perfectly flaky crust and topped with cinnamon sugar. And now it can be yours, along with dozens more mouth-watering varieties. Vegan at last and better than ever. Vegan Pie in the Sky is the latest force in Issa Chandra Moskowitz and Terry Hope Romero's baking revolution. You'll find delicious and adorable pies, tarts, cobblers, cheesecakes, and more, all made without dairy, eggs, or animal products. From fruity to chocolatey, nutty to creamy, Vegan Pie in the Sky has the classic flavors you crave, and the recipes are as easy as, well, you know. Welcome to It's All About Food.
Hi, thanks for having us.
Hi, that's Terry.
No,
this is Issa.
Oh, that's Issa. That's Terry.
This is Terry.
Okay, well,
we're kind of a hive mind, so it's okay.
Okay, yeah. Very good. Well, thanks for joining me on It's All About Food. So you both are really changing the world, and it's a great thing, and it's always great to see one of your new books come out.
Thank you.
You're welcome. So everyone loves pie. And yeah. I don't know, do you know the history behind pie?
You know, I don't really know what the history is.
It's really bleak. And so I'm so glad that pie has evolved to the delightful, cozy, comforting, loving, delicious place that it is today, especially when it's vegan. But reading about it, like in the 14th, 16th century or so, somewhere around there, I mean, people used to make these horrible crusts, and they called them coffins.
Okay.
And they'd use them instead of dishes or packaging to hold their meat and sauces and things like that.
Well, you know, they used to use a lot of things as packaging, like stomachs of animals and things like that. So.
There you go.
Yeah. So you weren't actually supposed to eat those back. Those were actually thrown out.
Right. They weren't eaten. Yeah. Yeah. And so that's what I'm joyful about today, because, you know, when you think about all the things that are wrong in the world, you got to think about all the things that are right. And we have come a long way just in the pie department. So
if all else fails, we've got pie.
It's what?
Oh, I just said if all else fails, we have pie. I kind of have an echo, so I'm sorry if I'm hard to understand.
Oh, well, if you want, we can get you back on without an echo.
I mean, that would be great.
Okay, so this is Terry or Issa?
Issa.
Okay, so I'm going to have you hang up, and my engineer will take care of you. Okay, well, Terry, let's just continue until we have Issa back on.
All right.
Okay. So why pie in your series of food books that you've been making?
Well, we thought it was time. I think we've been thinking about a pie book for a while, in our sort of our dessert quest, our plan of vegan dessert conquest. We had done, you know, cupcakes, and then after that we did cookies, and it just seemed like now was the time for pie. You know, now you see vegan cupcakes everywhere.
Mm-hmm, I think, that's right.
You know, you can go into even like your typical vegan bakery, and or not even vegan bakery, just any regular bakery, and you might even find a vegan cupcake.
Do you think vegan cupcakes take over the world was responsible for this incredible movement behind cupcakes?
They're pretty much responsible for everything, every good thing going on in the world since 2006. I think so. We've been working
money,
hard on that
and
one.
Flowers, everything.
Yeah, pretty much happiness in general.
Why not
vegan cupcakes?
Okay, some people are nervous about making pie because they think it's hard. And I know it's not. I make all different kinds of pie. You talk in the book to kind of get over the fear of pie making.
Yeah, I think it is hard. Like, once you start doing it, though, it becomes easier and easier. And we talk a lot about how to make it easier in the book and kind of walk you through it step by step. And it's worthwhile. It's a worthwhile skill to have. So, I mean, most things in life that are worthwhile might be a little challenging at first.
I like that. You know, we live in a society where people want it now. They want they want quick gratification, and as a result, I think a lot of us are depressed. And it takes time, it takes investment to get a skill and to appreciate it.
Yeah, I mean, definitely, yeah, we talk about how the pie, or, you know, making pie crust is definitely the opposite of fast food.
Mm-hmm.
It's, you know, everyone talks about slow food, this and that, but there's really something to be said about making your own pie crust. And there's not even a lot of crazy ingredients. It's pretty straightforward, but it just is something that gets better, you know, the second or third time or the fourth time you make it. You see a big difference. You see how your applied effort really, you know, pays off.
Well, the ideal pie crust, of course, is one that you make the dough and it gets all nice and smooth and pliable, and you can roll it out and it rolls nicely and it doesn't stick to anything, and then you pick it up and it goes into the pan and you can trim the edges and all beautiful and easy. But often, when people aren't familiar with how to do that, their dough may be too moist, too dry, and it sticks to everything, and it crumbles, and they get upset.
There's so many variables when working on pie, so even the temperature of your kitchen, the temperature of your hands, the temperature of the ingredients, so the more you get a feel for it, the more you know what you might have to adjust.
But I think the thing with dough, which I want to share with everyone, is even if you can't roll it, you can always press it into a crust, and no one will ever know.
Yeah, definitely.
In the book there are crusts that aren't pastry crusts, that are more, you know, crumb crusts that you press in, or I think we have a rollout crust that you press in as well, the almond one.
I like, in the beginning of the book, you talk about a number of things, and I wanted to talk about them. One is, each of you have different preferences for rolling pins. I was amused by that because I have used a wine bottle so many times when I've been in a kitchen and wanted to make a pie, and who doesn't have a rolling pin? So many people.
It's true. We did give DIY options for almost any equipment that you need.
Mm-hmm.
So we did include wine bottle.
Yeah, no, I love all of that. I wasn't really grading myself, but I certainly was more of the do-it-yourself kind for most of your categories.
Yeah.
I don't know if that's by choice or it's just my nature, but I always just wing it a lot of times. One thing I was surprised about was what alcohol will do to a pie crust.
Yeah, everyone asks about that. It's pretty funny. About the vodka pie crust.
Well, I was just talking to John Schlim and the Tipsy Vegan, and he's adding alcohol and everything. So I was just amused to just read in this one, oh, there's more alcohol in here, but it makes a crust flakier.
Yeah, it's pretty cool what it does. And it doesn't leave the pie crust tasting like vodka or anything.
Mm-hmm. Well, vodka doesn't have much of a flavor.
Yeah, I think some people read that and they're like, "Am I gonna, you know, get drunk?" No. It just does adds a little nice extra flakiness.
There's this vegan gelatin called agar, or agar.
So nice they had to name it twice.
And I love this stuff. You mentioned in the book, and I find it very frustrating, that the stuff they sell in the health food stores is the wrong kind.
Yeah, flakes.
Flakes, not powder, and powder's easier to use. Why is this?
No, I have no idea why. That's a good question, because we just kind of went with it and never thought to ask why.
Yes.
But that brand, the flakes, Eden Foods, I mean, I guess it's harder for other companies to get distribution or something. But we order agar powder either online at Vegan Essentials or in Asian grocery stores is really the best route to go, because you get a lot for a lot less. And it's basically a seaweed that acts like gelatin. It's awesome.
What was the second place you mentioned after Vegan Essentials?
Asian Groceries.
Okay.
There's a brand called Telephone Brands. And, Terry, how much does that cost? Because I stole yours.
I've noticed a wide range in price for agar per pound. You know, it can go from like $25 to $70 a pound, and I'm not sure what the difference is.
Yeah. I mean, as far as the actual ingredient, I don't think there's a quality difference. I've, you know, used them interchangeably.
Right. Well, it's magical. Agar is magical. And you use it in a number of different recipes for a number of different things.
Yes, we use it for custards and to make like jelly toppings on like the lemon and the lemon pie to make it kind of like it's an upside down lemon meringue.
Mm-hmm.
So the inside of the pie is creamy and meringuey and the top is jelly. We just basically use it as a stabilizer for creams and mousses and things like that.
Well, of course, the conventional thing to use is gelatin, which is not vegan and made from all kinds of delectable things like horse cartilage. And agar is really lovely.
I'm back.
Oh, good.
Okay,
we
you were gone.
You.
I was talking to you about agar.
We were talking about agar powder.
Magic.
And yes, it's magic. And why the health food stores sell flakes and not powder, which isn't as magical.
I was just going to ask you, Terry, how much that Telephone brand agar powder is.
Oh, it's like
super cheap
packet. It's ridiculous.
Yeah, and it lasts.
It's
for
the cheapest thing ever.
Yeah, 20 million years.
Right, because
I
was just seeing a range of prices per pound at some of these places, and it went from like $25 to $70 a pound. And I didn't know what the difference was.
But that's a pound. Who's going to use a pound of agar ever? Like,
we'll try.
Tiny amounts in each.
I like
each
agar.
Called for maybe a half teaspoon of agar.
But I like it.
Well, that Telephone brand, it's a Thai brand. So if you're looking for it, go to a Thai grocery store or possibly even like a large like Pan-Asian grocery store, and you should be able to find it.
I will definitely do that. The other ingredient that I think is magical in my life is tapioca. And again, like agar, the texture is important. So most people are familiar with pearls, but the tapioca powder is the one that's really magical.
Right, that's more widely available, though. I mean, any health food store, and even normal groceries sell it as, it's always called something different, tapioca starch, tapioca flour, tapioca powder, it's all the same thing.
It's all the same.
Yeah.
Well,
it's tapioca.
I think
you should be able to, sure.
Yeah.
Oh, go ahead, sorry.
You go.
Okay, well, you should be able to find it now because of it's used in a lot of gluten-free baking.
Yeah.
So it's gotten sort of a increased popularity due to that.
Yeah, I've been using
That's
it a
true.
Lot in gluten-free baking, and it's like I just said, it's magical. It's just crazy what it does.
Yeah, we tried to have we weren't sticking so much with, we have to use ingredients everybody has.
Mm-hmm.
This book, honestly, is more about experimenting with flavor and texture. I mean, experimenting a lot with texture, and you just can't if you're going to use, you know, all-purpose flour and everything. These ingredients that we're using they're not expensive. They're pretty affordable. And once you get them, it's not like you have to buy them often. Really, honestly, one thing of agar powder will probably last you your whole life. So it's just a fun way to explore different textures.
Well, I think we're in a time where we're evolving in the culinary world in so many different ways. I mean, unfortunately, some people have celiac disease, and the gluten-free world is expanding because of that. But also because of the vegan world, there's a lot of products that are getting a lot more exposure. And it's important, and it's good. And you should have these things in the book, and people need to learn about them and try them and get them.
Yeah, it's not going to be for everyone, of course. But, yeah, totally, if you love food and love cooking, why not, you know, broaden your horizons a bit. It's not just, I mean, there's also like molecular gastronomy is getting, I wouldn't say everybody has a molecular gastronomy cookbook in their house, but it's getting kind of popular, and so they use a lot of these ingredients too, different kinds of gels, and a lot of the ingredients are vegan, so that's been kind of fun to watch.
Right. Now, I wanted to talk next about the silicon baking thing, Silpats and things. Do you use them? Do you like them?
Not really.
Definitely not for pie. I don't even know if they make a silicon pie plate. I would say run away from it.
The crust protector is the one silicone thing that I actually love.
Mm-hmm.
A silicone crust protector was pretty much a lifesaver.
Those work great, yeah. I actually, when I make a candy nut or a caramel thing that needs to be cooled, I might have like a small Silpat that I spread it out on. But in general, I'm not really a fan of actually like a baked thing in a silicone. You know, container.
No.
Why?
The texture for me. I mean,
it changes the way they
bake correctly.
Mm. Yeah, I don't think they brown very well, mm-hmm. and they tend to be on the damp side. At least for vegan mm-hmm. things. I don't know. Maybe they work wonders for others.
Yeah, that's true. Maybe they do work better for other things. But especially when we were doing cupcakes, we tried a million times to, you know, have cupcakes come out decent in silicone, and it just didn't.
Yeah,
We really tried.
We did our due diligence.
Yeah, I kind of like the concept of it. I bought one little mini cupcake silicon thing, and I always found it had a funny flavor that it put cupcakes.
Yeah, not a fan. No.
Yeah, I mean,
I
environmentally,
molds.
It seems like a great concept, but yeah. Okay, but some things that work for me are parchment paper.
Yes.
This is a brilliant thing.
Yeah, indispensable. But for pies, you don't really need much. I mean, I'd say the only two baking things that are really indispensable are like a nice big ceramic dish, like
mm-hmm.
a nice big, like a 10-inch one. And mm-hmm. and people have told me that they have ones that they got from their grandmother, you know, that have been passed down through the family. And those are fantastic for big bubbly fruit pies.
Yeah.
Those are just the best.
Definitely
the
best.
Yeah, finding the right pie dish is pretty important. We definitely went. I went with Thrift Store for most of my pie dishes. I don't think they make them like that anymore.
Yeah. Well, my rolling pin is several generations. When I'm not using a wine bottle, I'm using a very old wooden rolling pin, and I love it.
Yeah, but for equipment, it doesn't. It's actually one of the least fussy kinds of pastries you can make in terms of equipment.
Mm-hmm.
You really don't need much.
Now, all of your pies in this book are sweet.
Yeah.
Yes.
You didn't make any savory pies.
No.
Was there a reason for that, or there were just too many sweet
pies?
It's
a dessert book.
It's dessert.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it fits in with the cookie and the cupcake book, sort of our big epic trilogy of desserts.
Right. So one of the really great things, the great ending of this book, are the toppers, the whips, the creams. Because a lot of people, when they go vegan, there are a handful of things that have not been perfected, but we're getting there. And cheese is a big complaint, and we're moving better in the cheese department. And then whipped cream.
Right. There's actually a few yummy ones on the market that we use
mm-hmm.
To top our pies with. But, yeah, we came up with a Rad Whip, which is like Cool Whip, but vegan.
Mm-hmm.
Has some of our magical ingredients like
mm-hmm.
The agar and cashews and coconut oil was another ingredient we really utilized a lot.
Yeah, definitely coconut oil.
Yeah, well, it's great because it's somewhat solid at room temperature, and so it gives
mm-hmm.
you that
exactly
that good texture for whipping.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so you guys have some plans for what you're doing next, restaurants and all kinds of things happening?
Yeah, Terry, what are you doing?
Well, as we were, you know, right before you called me, I am working on my international cookbook. It's got everything, lots of different kinds of, from Asia to Africa to Mediterranean. It's sort of like my next big solo book project. And I'm really in the thick of it right now. I'm, you know, practically covered in injera batter. It's that crazy.
Do you get to do any traveling for this book, or it's all virtual traveling?
Well, I have done a lot of traveling in the past already. Right now I'm sort of in lockdown mode. But I also, living in New York City, it's sort of like you have the world
a
right
subway
here.
Ride or two away.
Absolutely. I love going to different neighborhoods, and I really feel like I'm in another country.
Especially living in Queens, it really is sort of like its own little planet. It's pretty wild here.
Yep. I agree. I live here, too. And Etha?
I'm not really working on a book right now, so I'm just kind of trying to figure out an outlet for food for me. I mean, I was doing a lot of benefit dinners and bake sales and things like that, but I'm looking into opening a place here in Omaha, so we'll see how that goes.
Yeah, I have never been to Nebraska. I have no idea what it's like, but
yeah.
I would imagine that they could use a few good veg places.
Yeah. There's some stuff happening here. I think it's getting more and more vegan friendly all the time. Actually, there was a vegan restaurant and it closed, but it was pretty yummy, and it was well received.
Mm-hmm.
So, but yeah, everybody can always use more vegan restaurants, more places to eat, and just I think more restaurants that are supporting the local agriculture when possible.
Amen.
Yeah.
Carrie, mm-hmm. I just read something that you're going to be in an interview with Mark Bittman later this week.
I think that's Terry.
Yeah,
Terry.
Yes. This is sort of a big crash surprise that I'm going to be part of a vegan panel on Pacifica Radio.
That's huge.
I'm still getting the details, but I believe it's going to be 4 p.m. our time in New York.
Mm-hmm.
When is
that? On Friday,
that?
This coming Friday.
Okay.
Do you know who else is going to be on it?
I believe Colleen Patrick-Rideau.
Right.
And Mark Bittman.
And so I'm excited about this. And Mark Bittman is such an enigma to me, as is Michael Pollan, where they know so much about factory farming and sustainable agriculture, and yet they're not vegan.
Yeah.
And I just don't get it.
Terry, did you film that already? I mean, did you record that already?
That's coming this Friday.
But you didn't record it yet?
Nope.
You recorded it?
Not yet.
No, so do you know the format? Are someone going to be interviewing each of you, or are you going to have a discussion back and forth, or you don't know?
I don't know. All will be revealed to me.
Okay, well.
Very soon.
That's very, very, very exciting, and if you have the chance, ask Mark for me why he isn't vegan.
Okay.
I'm sure he's hot talking about it. I think he just, you know, not what he wants to do.
Yeah. It's just sometimes he comes out with these really phenomenal articles, and then these really crazy recipes with lobster or something.
Yeah, yeah.
What?
No, I don't know.
Okay. Well, that all sounds really, really good. Thanks so much for joining me on It's All About Food. Thanks for all that you do and all these sweet, delicious recipes that you come up with that make this planet just a better, delicious place to be.
Thank you so much.
Thank you.
Do you have websites that you can share with us before we go?
Sure.
Theppk.com.
The PPT is in Post-Punk Kitchen.
PPK, yeah.
PPK.com, yeah. Great, and there are recipes and all kinds of fun things up there.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, thank you both so much for joining me, and have a very happy holiday.
Thanks, you too.
Okay.
Thanks.
Thank you. Okay, so we just have a few minutes left. I'm Karen Hartglass, and you've been listening to It's All About Food. Oh, my God, what's that? Am I still here? Because I want to sing a little song. Can we end with a little song? When I was young, my mom used to sing a song about pie, and I'm going to sing it for you now. Can we turn my ending music off so I can sing it? Great. Shoe fly pie, an apple pan dowdy makes your eyes light up. Your tummy say howdy. Shoe fly pie, an apple pan dowdy, I never get enough of that wonderful stuff. Shoe fly pie and apple pan dowdy makes the sun come out when heavens are cloudy. Shoe fly pie and apple pan dowdy, I never get enough of that wonderful stuff. Mama, when you bake, mama, I don't want cake, mama. for my sake, go to the oven and make some ever-loving shoe fly pie. And apple panned out, he makes your eyes light up, your tummy say, howdy, shoe fly pie. And apple panned out, I never get enough of that wonderful stuff. Woo! Thanks for listening. I'm Karen Hartglass. You've been listening to It's All About Food. Have a delicious week and eat some pie. Goodbye.